Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service this morning. I'm glad to see that there are still a fair number of us here, and I hope everyone who's on holiday this week is having a good time. I would like to take this opportunity, since Colin's on his holidays, you'll recall, to welcome Tony Graham from Hitchin, who has kindly agreed to lead our worship this morning. Welcome, Tony. It's nice to have you back with us. Now, Colin is back from holiday from tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll be, well, I'm hoping, I shouldn't be sure at all. I'm hoping he's had a time of rest and relaxation and back with his batteries charged for the new year. There are limited activities this week, but I'd like to draw your attention to the walk that the ladies group is arranging on Tuesday morning in Gadebridge Park, starting at 10:30. Although it's the ladies group that are organising it, anybody who's around and free is very welcome to join them. Either meet at the White Bridge coming in from the car park or at the entrance off Queensway near the lodge. I hope the barrier will be down because I see they've relayed that with some nice new tarmac. So 10:30 if you've got a bit of energy on Tuesday morning. I draw attention to the fact that Carey Camp takes off next Saturday. The coaches will leave here about 7 o'clock in the morning. So your prayers for a good week and a week of fellowship and strength and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour for the young people of both Belmont Road and our own churches will be welcome. And I'll make my usual plea, since it's now August, for anyone who has a wee bit of energy to take part in the Bike and Hike Historic Churches sponsored event, 10th of September. And if you're feeling a little more in need of rest, then if you have a spare hour to sign in our riders here at the church that Saturday between 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock. There's a list on the notice board in the foyer to sign up. Thank you very much. Now over to Tony.
Thank you very much for the welcome. It's lovely to be back to share fellowship with you and to have the privilege of leading worship. Let's commit the service to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, not because we deserve to, but because we have your Son, Jesus Christ, as a mediator. Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We thank you that the blood of Christ washes away our sins. We come into your presence to praise you as the Creator, to thank you for the blessings which you bestow upon us, and to ask for your help in our lives and the lives of others. May the Holy Spirit be with us as we draw near to you, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, for those of you who never seen me before, or those of you that have a memory similar to mine, I ought to remind you, tell you for the first time, that I do have a very, very poor memory. So if you see me reading things, that's the reason why. And I read on my order of service that we're going to sing hymn number 73 from Songs of Fellowship, Come On and Celebrate. Thank you, Clifford. Come on and celebrate. Come on and celebrate. His gift of love we will celebrate, the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King, you give us joy nothing else can bring. We'll give to you our offering in celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing, celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing, celebrate and sing to the King. Come on.
Come on and celebrate his gift of love. We will celebrate the Son of God who loved us and gave us life. We'll shout your praise, O King. You give us joy nothing else can bring. We'll give to you our offering, celebration praise. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. And celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King. Come on and celebrate, celebrate, celebrate and sing. Celebrate and sing to the King.
Amen. Please be seated. I seem to remember from my last visit here that we have a congregation which is very willing to take part in the All Age Address. And it won't work unless you do take part. Now, I need anything up to a dozen children under the, you haven't listened, have you? Wait, under the age of 115, right? If you're over 115, you have every excuse not to take part. But I want a dozen people to take part in the All Age Address. It's going to need you to do three, I think it is. See, poor memory. Very, very simple calculations. They are simple, I promise you, he says, as an ex-maths teacher. If you find them difficult, I do have calculators. So I'm going to come round with some bits of paper. You'll notice that I don't like waste. So the bits of paper are from old envelopes, old worksheets. And so if you wouldn't mind taking part, oops, mind the lead, I'll come round and I'll give you a piece of paper and a pencil, and you can't miss out sitting there, can you? Thank you, sir. Yes, oh, look, he said, please. And Clifford, you're all out to work together. If there are any youngsters under the age of 21, it might be handy if an adult works with them in case the knowledge of geography of countries in the world. You want one, Tim? Yes. I must save some for that. So, hands are going out, look. Don't write on them, please, until I get there. You don't have to have one because I need to save. I'm just going to nip outside and back in the other side. I'm sorry, I need to save some for across there. There's some intelligent, knowledgeable looking people. As I say, you're allowed to work together. I've got left one pencil. Shammy's once. That's it. Empty box. Hope it's full when I leave. Right now, you need to follow the instructions very, very carefully. They are simple, but don't go racing ahead. Okay? I'm going to ask you to think, don't tell me what it is, just think, of a number, a whole number, that's less than 10, bigger than 0, less than 10. Can you do that now? Think of a whole number that's bigger than 0, less than 10. So everybody with a bit of paper and pencil has done that. Right, next step. I want you to multiply that number by 9. If you're not sure, don't be embarrassed. I want everybody to get this right. I've got calculators. Multiply your single digit whole number by 9. Don't write it down on the front of the paper, but you can do it on the back if you like. You should have, unless you chose 1. Did anybody choose 1 as their whole number? Okay, that's good. You should have a 2-digit number answer. Add together those 2 digits. Okay? So you've added together those 2 digits. And the final calculation, I want you to subtract 5 from your answer. So you multiplied by 9, you added your 2 digits, and you subtracted 5 from that answer. Sorry? Well, mystical, mysterious, maybe. Now, if you got the answer 1, use the letter A for your next step. If you got the answer 2, use B. If you got the answer 3, use C. D is 4, E is 5, and so on. If you got 26, then you're wrong. So you can't use Z. So you've got a letter of the alphabet. I want you to think of a country whose name starts with that letter. Think of a country which starts from that letter. And on your bit of paper, underneath where it says from, write the name of that country. If you can't think of a country that starts with that letter, ask one of your neighbours, perhaps that isn't taking part. So you've got the name of a country. Look at the second letter in the name of that country. And think of an animal whose name starts with that second letter. Between where it says A and where it says from, write the name of that animal. So underneath the A, above the from, write the name of that animal. And after the letter A, write down the colour of that animal. Have I lost anybody? Because I know it's an intelligent congregation. I remember that from my previous visit. So you added, you thought of a whole number, single digit, times it by 9, added the 2 digits, subtracted 5, related that to a letter of the alphabet, and you wrote down a country beginning with that letter. The second letter of that country, you thought of an animal whose name starts with that, and you wrote it between the A and the from. And you thought of the colour of that animal, and you put it after A. Now, I studied psychology as part of my degree. And looking round, how many of you, please, have on your bit of paper a grey elephant from Denmark? Thank you very much. Wow. Thank you very much indeed for taking part, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we think we're different from everybody else, don't we? We think we're so different from other people. We go at times to different churches. People go to different churches. Youngsters go to different schools. We've got different jobs. Some of us are retired. But to God, we must seem to be very much alike. We all fail, at least occasionally, to meet God's standards. But that is, we all sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was to pay the price for our sin. And he looked at us alike and said, I want everybody to be saved. When he rose from the dead, something which we're remembering today, because we're praising our living Saviour, it was a sign of God's power over death. giving the chance of everlasting life to everyone, including us, including me, because we are saying that we have one thing in common. Doesn't matter whether you've got a grey elephant from Denmark or whether you've got something else. We all God's children, and amen to that. Let's come before the Lord in thanksgiving. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we bow down before your throne and worship you. We thank you that you created heaven and earth and everything that dwells above, upon, and within the ground. We give you thanks that whatever humankind has done or is doing that is contrary to your will, you still love us. And you love us so much that you sent your Son to die on the cross for the salvation of creation. We thank you for all those who are working to help others, for people who have taken in those who are fleeing the war in Ukraine, for men and women who work for charities such as the Leprosy Mission, trying to convince people of the fact that this disease can be cured. Thank you, Lord, for the work that BMS has done in the Republic of Kosovo since 1999. Thank you for Kosovan believers and their encouragement and partnership with BMS as BMS lead that work to the Kosovan native workers. We remember the work of Wycliffe Bible Translators and the Bible Society in translating, revising, publishing, printing, and distributing the Bible throughout the world. We thank you for the difference the Open the Book initiative is making in this and in other countries. Thank you, Father, for our friends and family, and for those who encourage us in our faith, for those who encourage us in any aspect of our lives. We give thanks for those who help keep us safe, those to whom we give little thought until we need their help, for all those involved in the medical world, the fire rescue service, the police, Coast Guard, mountain rescue, the RNLI. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet this morning to praise you and to magnify your name, and for all those people who over the years have helped to make this happen. And we ask these prayers in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And Clifford and the rest of the group are going to come back to the front as we join together in singing the hymn, Rejoice in the Lord Always.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice.
Thank you. And we're going to rejoice as we make our offering. Your offering will now be taken.
Thank you.
Lord, any gifts we give of time, money, or talents, we can only give because you have blessed us, allowing us to have that time and money, those talents. And what we give gladly and humbly, and ask that you use our offerings to help further your work. In the name of Jesus, amen. As we come to the reading of God's word, I would explain that I've asked Shami to read from the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, instead of the NIV, as I believe that certainly for this passage, it is a better translation. You'll hear in the RSV the word forbearance, which can mean patience, self-control, moderation, or restraint. And Ralph P. Martin, the former president of New Testament at the Further Theological Seminary in California, suggests that perhaps graciousness is the best English equivalent. So Shami is going to read to us now. Thank you.
My church, the word of God is taken from the book of Philippians, obviously the RSV version, chapter 4, verses from 4 to 7. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God.
And we're going to sing, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Thank you, Robert.
The Lord is King, your Lord and King and all. Mortals defend and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I command, and for me,
Amen. Let's bring to the Lord at least some of our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we come before you to ask for your help, for the world is in desperate need of your help. We pray, Lord, as we pray every day, that you will intervene to stop the war in Ukraine. We pray that President Putin will withdraw his troops and will stop his attempt to reform the Soviet Union. We ask that you comfort those who have lost loved ones, lost homes, lost businesses. We thank you for the support given to Ukraine by Western nations and pray that that support will continue. We pray for all those who are suffering because of the war, for those who are finding it difficult or impossible to pay the increased cost of food and fuel. We pray for the end of conflict in other countries, such as Syria, Yemen, Myanmar, Hong Kong, Nigeria, so many more. We ask that people everywhere will heed the warning about climate change. We'll look at countries where there are floods, where there are wildfires, where the weather is not the same as it was 10, 20, 50, 100 years ago, and will change their behaviour where possible, not only to stop climate change, but even reverse it. Give strength, we pray, to all those working in stressful situations. Give wisdom to those in positions of authority and to our politicians of every party. We pray that you'll give wisdom, integrity, fairness, honest, and compassion. Lord, be with the fellowship here at Kerry, and let each of us encourage and support others, that your word may be seen in all that we say and do. We pray for the Belmont and Kerry Youth Camp starting on Saturday on the Isle of Wight. And we bring before you Pauline Beerham and her son Ian, Ray, Shirley, Norman, Norma, Colin and Chris, and any others that we name in our hearts, Lord. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing now a song that I certainly sang in my youth, and we sang with gusto. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning.
To the King of Kings.
sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart, give me rest, give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me resting. Keep me resting till the break of day. Sing, 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 sing. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Keep me serving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Thank you very much. And we pray the Lord will bless the youngsters as they leave this service. My youngest daughter was married recently, and it was a day of rejoicing. Third time of asking. I ought to clarify that. After two postponements because of restrictions due to the COVID virus, the day finally arrived when she and her fiancé could finally tie the knot, as the saying goes. After the ceremony, cannon were fired nearby. True. All right, that was a coincidence. For the appropriately named the sealed knot, we're holding a Civil War reenactment event on Basing Common. The site of the siege of Basing House, just outside Basingstoke, between 1642 and 1645. And where was my daughter married? At Basing House. But they did, sealed knot, did agree not to fire cannon until after the service. There was joy. There were congratulations. And as I have said, there was rejoicing. It was not from everyone rejoicing in the Lord, although it was from at least one guest at the wedding, me. I gave thanks to God that the day went off with very few hitches, and that the hitches that did occur were, to my mind, relatively minor, and that none impacted on the ceremony or the celebrations that followed. The bride was happy, and the very well-behaved guests reacted well with each other. When we read the Bible, it is so often easy to misunderstand a verse or a passage. It is easy to misquote a verse. And I heard this done in a television drama that I watched recently. I wonder how many people believe, as did the character in the drama, that the first part of the first letter of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For money is the root of all evil." Some, maybe all of you, will know that it actually says, "For the love of money is the root of all evils." It is so easy for us to take a word, a verse, a passage out of context and believe that we cannot live up to what we think that that word, verse, or passage is saying, and trap ourselves into believing that we are bound to fail, making for ourselves a cage, a false cage, basically formed by our own words rather than those that are actually in the scriptures. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he instructs the Thessalonians to rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I wonder how many people that think that Paul is saying that we should give thanks for all circumstances. Can you give thanks for all things? For floods, for droughts, for earthquakes, for wars? I can't. But the words are give thanks in all circumstances, not give thanks for all circumstances. And what a difference that makes. It's not always easy, but it is definitely easier. When, due to an earthquake, buildings are destroyed, we do not give thanks to God for the earthquake. We do not give thanks to God for the destruction of those buildings. But we can give thanks that local, national, and at times international rescuers arrive on the scene to help look for survivors, to help in the treatment of those who have been injured. Why would Paul feel the need to be issuing such a clarion cry? Why would the people of Philippi be in need of this encouragement, this exhortation? The establishment of the church at Philippi marked the entrance of the gospel of Jesus into Europe. Philippi was in the first district of Macedonia and was a Roman colony, something which was cause for civic pride. We can read in Acts chapter 16 of a visit which Paul had made to Philippi previously, and how, because the Holy Spirit, through Paul, instructed a, quote, spirit of divination to leave a slave girl. Because this resulted in the girl's owners being deprived of making a profit through her fortune telling, the owners complained to the magistrates, which eventually led to Paul being imprisoned. Philippi was not the sort of place in which it was easy to be a Christian, particularly not one with the gifts that Paul had. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul encourages the members of the church, hoping that I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. It refers in chapter 2 to them being in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So all was not rosy in Philippi. The church was under constant threat. Paul had experienced that threat. He knew what the situation was like, and he was not simply encouraging the congregation as an onlooker might encourage a runner in the Commonwealth Games. Note that he did not simply say rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And it's the faith of the Philippians which makes rejoicing in the Lord in the face of opposition a possibility, a glorious possibility. It is this faith that does not just open the door of the cage, it makes the cage disappear. Amen to that. My elder sister died earlier this year. If you have any medical knowledge, you may have a greater understanding than some of what I'm about to say. For years, she had suffered from lupus, from Sjogren's syndrome, and from celiac disease. And eventually, they took their toll. It was made worse because some of these things weren't diagnosed early, and they had taken their toll on her body before treatment could be administered. Not once did I hear her complain that she suffered from these diseases, but I did hear her on a frequent basis encourage me in my faith. And if she'd been alive today, I would have received a message from her either yesterday or this morning saying that she was praying for me, that she was praying for this service of worship. I wonder if you would be so gracious if you suffered in the same way. I wonder if I would be so gracious. The key word of this letter of Paul's is joy, something which distinguishes Philippians from the other writings of Paul. The word joy as a verb or noun being found 16 times in the four chapters. In fact, J.A. Bengel, in his 1850 book, Nomen Novae Testamenti, that is a critical explanation of the New Testament, commented, Summa epistolae gaudio gaudete. Now, I know you're all familiar with Latin, but just in case there is somebody who is not, and I gave up the study of Latin at the end of third form, or year nine, as it is now called, I did look up the translation, which is letters, I am happy, rejoice. Joy. Despite the fact that as he wrote this letter, Paul was in prison. What encourages us to have joy in the Lord? How do we receive surpassing peace? The four verses of our passage point us to three imperatives that we must obey, three commands. Paul does not just say, rejoice in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he emphasizes this instruction by saying, again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Wow. So we need incessant joy. In verse 5, Paul talks about an outward testimony. In verse 6, he talks about an upward dependency on God. And in verse 7, we see the result. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will enter our hearts and minds. The result of having an incessant joy, the result of having an upward dependency on God, is to possess the peace of God, a peace which the Bible says passes all understanding. Now, I'm a member of the Walsworth Road Baptist Church in Hitchin. And I remember sitting in the pews months ago, hearing a lay preacher, not a Baptist, I hasten to add, say that a modern equivalent of Christ saying, peace be with you, is chill out, relax. Brothers and sisters, how wrong was that lay preacher? In verse 7 of our passage, Paul talks about the peace of God, which passes all understanding. A little more than chill out, relax, would you not agree? But how does one explain something that is beyond understanding? One way in which the peace of God is beyond all understanding is how we can receive that peace when we are in the situations in which we sometimes find ourselves. When we have in our lives the troubles we have, and despite which we can have a calmness. It defies logic. It defies the power of human thought that we would be at peace in the midst of our problems. I heard an American preacher say that a prayerless heart breeds an anxious mind. A prayerless heart breeds an anxious mind. I agree with him. And he did go on to say that we need to do more than just pray, but we will never have the peace of God without prayer. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What a wonderful promise. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Paul tells us in this letter not to be anxious about anything, but surely we will have burdens. A burden is something which we have to lift, something we have to carry, but we do not have to do that on our own. I used to know someone who had some connection, I cannot remember exactly what, to one of the organizations that translates the Bible. The people in the country for which the Bible was being translated at that time used to carry loads on yokes, which they supported on shoulders. If someone fell while carrying a heavy load, he often had problems getting up, the yoke pinning him to the ground. Now, a helpful person might then fall to his knees next to the load bearer, reach under the yoke, share the load, and help him up. The Bible translators discovered that these people had no word or words for the Holy Spirit, and so translated the Holy Spirit as the one who falls down with you. What a wonderful image. You're on the ground and the Holy Spirit falls down next to you and helps you lift your burden. There's no denial in God's work that is in God's word that his people are going to have burdens, things that we're going to have to lift, things that we have to lift with our hearts, with our emotions. Jesus said that in this world you will have troubles. But as we have heard, the psalmist tells us, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he, that is God, the Lord, will sustain you. He will carry you through your problems. Why? Because he will never let the righteous to be moved. We bear the name of the Lord. We are Christians. If we are in Christ, we bear the name of the Lord. He is responsible for our souls. We bear his name. Do you agree with me that he cares about his name? God is committed to the glory of his name. He will not allow the righteous to be moved. But notice that there is a caveat in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Do we obey the first part of that verse? Cast your burden on the Lord. Do we cast our burdens on the Lord so that he will sustain us? We have a responsibility to bring our burdens before the Lord. I wonder how many of you know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The second half of the first verse says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How many pains do we needlessly bear? How many burdens do we needlessly carry around with us simply because we do not pass them on to God? In Matthew chapter 6, we read the words of Jesus as he says that we should not be anxious about what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. For God the Father will provide these things. Again, though, there is the caveat. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. When the Israelites fled from Egypt, God sustained them in the desert. He has promised to supply all of our needs. This doesn't depend on the size of our bank account, our level of education, our position in society. It is dependent upon his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, an infinite bank account. So how do we pass our burdens on to God? We pray. We tell God about our problems, and then in his sovereign power, God has the ability to take away our burdens. How does he do that? I don't know. I don't know how he created heaven and earth, but I know that they exist. I do not know how he created the trees and the flowers, but I see them. I know they exist. I do not know how he takes away my burdens, but I feel him doing it. That does not mean that I always find my life easy. That does not mean that I do not sometimes carry around a burden, needlessly carry around a burden, because I am human and act in the way that all humans act, at least sometimes. What does it mean to have joy in the Lord? As Christians, I hope that that is not hard for us to understand. And if you are not a Christian, I would encourage you to think about committing your life to Christ. It's not easy at all times, but brother, sister, it's worth it. Let me point out where in Philippians Paul tells us for what we are to have joy in the Lord. Just listen to these gifts, these promises which God gives to us. In Philippians 1, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Are we excited about that? I am. The one who began a work in you will complete it. I wonder how many projects we start and do not finish. We start something, I do, make progress with it, but somehow never get round to completing it. When God started a good work in you, when God started a good work in me, he decided before the outset that he was going to finish that work, and finish it he will. That is not dependent upon you. That is not dependent upon me. It is solely dependent upon the grace of God and his sovereign promise to bring us on to glory. We have a reason to rejoice. He is going to bring us on to glory. Hallelujah. At times we may feel that our life is a mess. At times we may feel that we are coming to pieces. Well, God has all of those pieces in his hand. God began the work, and he's not going to lose any of those pieces, large or small, as he continues that work. We may have built a cage for ourselves and not be able to see how we can get out of it. We may not be able to see what God is doing, but we know that he will continue his work because he promised that he would. In chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Christ Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Are you excited by those words? Again, I am. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. That really excites me. When I fill in certain application forms, I often state that I am a citizen of this country. But that citizenship is only temporary. And fortunate though I am to be a British citizen, I am thankful to God that this is not my permanent residence. And while I live my day-to-day life, I am looking forward to the return of Christ when this lowly body will be transformed by God's power, that power that he will use to subdue all the nations of the earth. I have no problems, no worries, no pains, no ailments. Well, at least none that he cannot fix, that he will not fix. My body is going to be transformed, so how can I not rejoice? I would encourage you then, as I encourage myself every day, not to build a case for yourself, but to rejoice in the Lord and to rely on God. Read the Bible, taking careful note of what it actually says, and remembering that as we present our petitions to God in prayer, we do so with thanksgiving. If at any time during this week you're going to read Philippians 4:4-7, I would also encourage you to read Psalm 56, which mirrors a lot of what is said. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Amen. Before we sing, I'll ask him, I have expressed thanks to all those who have helped make this service possible. In whatever way, some are more obvious than others. The musicians are very often obvious as they sit out here. But I want to give my personal thanks to Robert for the times he's played the organ when I've preached here. And I pray for God's blessing on the rest of your life, Robert, whether you're playing the organ or not. So my sister's baptismal hymn was, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. And we're going to sing that now. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. Thank you, Robert.
I'm not ashamed. shame to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cause. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Jesus, my Lord, I know his name. His name is all my trust. He will not put my soul to shame, nor let my hope be lost. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Firm as his throne, his promise stands, and he can well secure what I committed to his hands till the decisive hour. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the new Jerusalem appoint my soul a place. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.